we shouldn't be doing life alone. There's always someone there to help you. You have to get to the root of what's causing your issue to fix it. Some people just aren't ready. We'll find every excuse not to do it versus an excuse to do it. I see potential in people and I believe in them, but until they believe in themselves, they're not going to make the changes.
You're listening to the Visibly Fit podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Welcome back to the Visibly Fit podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And today we have a special episode. I mean, okay, every episode is special, right? Yes, it is. But today I know that this episode will resonate with anyone seeking just any kind of inspiration or practical strategies for holistic wellness. So here's my question for you. Have you ever faced a challenge that felt just really insurmountable? I know I have, but man, it is very different from our guest's challenge. And maybe you have experienced multiple challenges yourself that, you know, we can't compare our situations and circumstances with other people. But we're looking for ways to revitalize and get our mindset right and to embrace healthier lifestyle choices. And so if you are in a place where you have ever felt challenged and felt like the pressure is there, and yet you're looking to start making healthy choices, then you're in the right place. We are thrilled to welcome Jessica Moyer. She is a powerhouse in the wellness community and the creator of The Real Framework. Jessica is a TEDx speaker, Amazon best-selling author, host of the Real Wellness Podcast, and a certified leadership, wellness, nutrition, and hormone coach with over 25 years experience. She's a former gym owner and multi-certified fitness professional. Jessica specializes in sustainable habit formation, strength-based wellness, metabolic health, and hormone balance, particularly for high-achieving women and leaders. Jessica equips audiences with practical, science-informed tools to optimize health, regulate stress, and achieve lasting results without burnout. Yep, she's even been on a reality show. That's right. She was a competitor on a reality show, and she has been an international model. She is the proud wife of Jason of 28 years and mom of four beautiful children, including her angel, Stephen. You'll hear more about Stephen in the episode. And if you're watching, stay to the very end because you'll get to meet her dog, Scooby. Enjoy the show. Hello, Jessica Moyer. Welcome to the Visibly Fit podcast.
Thank you, Wendy. So excited to be here and have this conversation.
Oh, it is a delight. And our mutual friend, Nicole, introduced us. So that is so fun. And I love that. I love that, you know, I just love being around awesome ladies, right? And when we can connect one another together, it's just powerful. So thank you for taking the time to be on. And I love, just because we had a chance to talk before this podcast, just who you are as an individual and your heart behind just wanting to help people break through their stuck points and get on a healthy journey. And that's my heart as well. And of course, the foundation is Jesus. And that's all just right up my alley. So let's talk first and foremost. Let's just dive right in because you've been on quite a journey, mind, body, spirit, emotions, you name it. You've been on quite a journey for some time. And I want to kind of just jump right into what was the catalyst to get you onto the journey of where you are now with teaching your real framework and all the things.
Yeah, life in general, what we you know walk through becomes our passion and purpose. And I think a lot of loss in my life, the loss of my dad, and the loss of my son, has really led me to what I do today and inspiring others to take care of the body, the mind, soul that God has given us. And so many people treat it like it's garbage versus a gift. And so my mission is really to inspire others to show up for themselves first, to then be able to pour into everyone else.
That's so good. That's so good. Yeah, we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves, but if we don't love ourselves, how can we really care for our neighbor or the others in our life, whether it's our parents, our siblings, or whatever it is, our children. And so let's go to that moment before we tap into where you are currently. But let's go to, I can't imagine, you know, losing a child or even losing a parent at this point, even though it's always, you know, we're in the sandwich generation and it's inevitable. But I can't imagine losing a child. And so you lost a child at an early age. And what did he suffer from?
Yeah, I was 27. Stephen was our second born. My husband was serving in the military. And 2 weeks after 9/11, sitting in a neurologist's office, knowing something wasn't right with him, but had no idea the words that were about to come out of the doctor's mouth. And basically, he was diagnosed with something called spinal muscular atrophy, which is a neuromuscular disease that affects voluntary muscles. So think of it as your brain still works, but your body doesn't. And so it basically paralyzes you eventually. And it's like Lou Gehrig's in infants. Mm-hmm. And at that very moment, I knew my life would never be the same because that's not, you know, as a parent, you'd never want to have a child pass before you. That's not really the course of life. And so at that moment, I knew that life was going to change. And, you know, this is what God, Stephen was such a gift. And of course, it took many years to work through the grief of losing a child. It's on a daily. But I've also created so many beautiful things because of his life. Mm. So yeah, he passed away at the age of 9 months.
9 months old. Wow. And he's your second born. So how old was your firstborn at this time?
Yeah, my firstborn, Isabel, she was actually born 9 weeks early. She spent over a month in the NICU. So I thought, well, gosh, I've already been through it, right?
Right.
I already had my cross to bear. And my husband was at school at the time. So went through a lot when I was in my 20s. So Isabel was about, she was two when our son was diagnosed.
Okay.
So yeah, it was an interesting day by day. That's all I can say.
And I'm sure as a little sibling watching all this unfold, she's had to go through her own journey of grief and how to process it. And so, so many times, I don't know why I'm going to go down the road of grief for just a moment, but we grieve over multiple things. It's not just a death to a life. It could be a death to a business, a dream, a certain health situation, whatever it is. I don't know. But grief is real. Like, I mean, as far as the feelings of it. So how did you slowly but surely, and I'm sure there's still grievous days, but it surely probably gets more distant as the years go by, but there's those moments. But how did you slowly progress through that and take your health by the reins, so to speak?
Yeah, well, before Stephen even passed, we decided to start a nonprofit in his memory. So within a few months, I had connected with some other moms in the SMA community. And I'm the type that I can't stand by and watch something happen and not do anything about it. And I knew it wouldn't bring my son back, but I also knew that someday it could make a difference for other parents. And in fact, there's actually 4 treatments now for SMA. So babies like Stephen are walking. I truly believe in my lifetime, I actually may see a cure. And it is incredible.
Yes.
All of the funding has been through families like myself and small businesses. It's not through the government getting tons and tons of millions of dollars. And so that's been very rewarding. Mm. So diving into, you know, finding a cure, treatment, helping other families through it was very therapeutic. As far as the grief, I can't say there's a right or wrong for anyone. I sit with a lot of parents. I sat with a mom yesterday who lost her son a couple months ago to an overdose. Hmm. And I leaned into my faith. I grew up Catholic and I just leaned into, and of course it was challenging. You question your faith and you question God when you want to be angry at someone or something. But I never ceased to pray, even, you know, through that journey. And I was blessed with 2 more healthy boys, but I think I did suppress it for a while because the day after Stephen's funeral, I miscarried, got pregnant again, lost another baby in utero. And I was raising a child and my husband, I knew, was going to get deployed. So I think a lot of it was
stress.
Yeah.
And suppressed, but the stress too with all that.
A lot of stress. And so I think I've dealt with my grief of losing Stephen, but maybe not the other losses that were very significant. But when you have a living, breathing child that you watch die, there's nothing worse. And so, and turning to like running was very therapeutic for me. Movement, which I preach nowadays, I'm presenting tonight. I'm going to get the ladies up and move. I think that can help us through our grief as well. And having people to reach out to, having a community, even if it's one person, we shouldn't be doing life alone. There's always someone there to help you.
That's such a good word, Jessica, because I think some people just want to curl up in a ball and just kind of shut down. That's the first go-to. And really, that's really what the enemy wants us to do, is be alone and have all these horrible thoughts and stay stuck. So I love that you're a take action kind of gal, because when we take action, it can open the road for other people in their healing journey, and even maybe with a cure in a situation like you're talking about. And so I love that, taking action. That's really, really important. You know, mindset is a big deal. It's a big piece of the equation for, you know, talk about going from survival to thriving kind of a thing. And so how do people go from that survival kind of mindset? It could even be victim mindset, to flip in the script and realizing who they are in Christ, and also who they are able to be, and just shifting that to a thriving mindset.
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, there's nothing easy about moving forward through grief or loss or anything traumatic in your life, but it's choices every day. Yeah. It's a choice to get out of bed and brush your teeth. It's a choice to have a conversation with someone. It's a choice to find a church. Everything in life is a choice. That doesn't mean we can change what happens to us, but we can change the outcome in some way. And so mindset it's huge. I mean, it's everything. What you put into your brain is going to come out in some way, positive or negative. I think it's your input determines your output, and your output determines your future. That's a Ziegler quote.
That's right.
Yeah. So I think it's just daily choices. And again, leaning into people, having a support system in some way, there's always someone there to help. And I think so many women specifically, and gentlemen, but I think women don't want to talk about what they've been through, or they feel shameful and they're embarrassed. I owned a gym for 5 years. And I think a big part of that success was that it wasn't just a place to come work out. It was a place to heal internally as well, and to know that you're not alone. And that's a big part of what I preach.
That is so true. Yeah, you're not alone, and there should be no shame and condemnation in anything that we've been through or done in our past, because we can be new in Christ at any moment. And also, it's about having and reminding ourselves that we have the mind of Christ. I think so often we forget, you know, it's like, I have the mind of Christ. Like, why am I operating in this lower vibrational frequency when God has lifted me up here? And so it's a daily, like you said, it's a daily, and it's choices. So you came up with a framework, which is called REAL. And let's talk about what that stands for and how you take people through it.
Yeah. So I realized years and years of working in the wellness fitness industry, that what were the tools that were working long-term and consistently for the clients that succeeded. And it's the real framework. It's being realistic with your goals. Not that you can't dream big, because I think you should dream big, but you have to be realistic in the time frame that you can achieve it.
Yeah.
And creating a plan, being resilient. You know you're going to fail. You just keep pushing forward. Using the right energy sources. So nutrition, movement, all the things that you talk about too, Wendy. Mm-hmm. Community, nature, God, faith. All of the, you have to have the right input, the right energy to propel you forward, and being able to block the outside noise and realizing what energy sources are taking away from you, and eliminating them. A is action. You know, again, being in the fitness industry, so many people get stuck because they try to change everything at once. And so it's having that realistic plan in place, which is where I come along and help with that. And then L is love, which is loving yourself. You know, you are created in the image of Jesus, loving yourself, knowing that you're worthy. Yeah. Because if you don't love yourself, it's really hard to show up in other ways for other people.
That's it. So love is really the foundation of it all. And And I mean, yeah, it's like that, that should be kind of a motto for life. Like that, that should be the foundation in how we are showing up, living loved and walking in love and operating in love with ourselves and others. It would just change the dynamics of the world. My goodness. If we just saw ourselves as loved, you know, and operated there. So I love that. And so with the real framework, how do you work with women? Is it in person, online? How do you go about doing that?
Both. Yeah. I have a lot of virtual clients. I have a few in-person clients, but now, you know, with the way we can have these connections, a lot of it is virtual.
Yeah.
Or in person. I mean, I'm new to North Carolina relatively. So still getting out there and meeting a lot of amazing women. But yeah, a lot of it's virtual or workshops. I love to host wellness workshops for companies or small businesses or women that just want to grow together.
Yeah, so good. And just level up, right? And learn. And I think, you know, what are your thoughts about this? Because I know my thoughts, but when it comes to, there's just a lot of health and fitness information out there. People are overloaded. They're confused. They're almost just like in that analysis of paralysis kind of place, like just stuck because they're like, I don't even know. There's Visibly Fit. There's the real framework. Like, what do I do and what works? And so what do you tell people when they come to you and they say, I've tried everything, Jess. I've tried everything. Nothing works. What do you tell them?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you have to find the right fit. You have to find a person that you gel with, that you have a good energy with, which yeah. I kind of pride myself on, but something will work. It's yeah. diving deeper into your why and your purpose, like what's yeah. driving you to want to change. And if your why or your pain point isn't strong enough, you're going to continue
never
to make
change.
Excuses. And so some people just aren't ready. You yeah. know, we'll find every excuse not to do it versus an excuse to do it.
Yeah,
which is really hard in my industry because I see potential in people and I believe in them, but until yeah. they believe in themselves, they're not going to make the changes.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I've seen it for decades, and it's hard to see as someone who is, you know, visionary like yourself and myself, and can really see the breakthrough and the transformation before they're even there. It's like, oh no, but I see. But like you said, they're not ready. But you're an athlete at heart. I mean, you grew up as an elite gymnast, and you know, you walk on your hands all the time doing handstands, and I'm a little jealous, I must say, in a good way, if that is even possible to say in a good way. I'm real. That's a goal. I've got a goal.
Okay, I'm going
to
help you.
Okay, you help me, Jess. Keep me accountable on that one.
Okay.
I really want to learn to do a full-fledged handstand.
Never too old to do it.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, but, you know, I use the wall right now. But, hey, that's a start. But, you know, I know some other people that were very involved and elite gymnasts, and they, and I'm asking you, were you ever stuck in that space of perfection? Because I know that's kind of how they were wired. And I don't know if that's the coaching with that particular sport or just if it's an athletic, you know, kind of model in general. But I've seen it more with gymnasts than I have with other athletes. So I'm just curious about your experience and the perfection.
That's, yeah, that's such a good question because I am not a perfectionist, Wendy, at
okay.
all.
Okay. Okay. That's good. That nicks that one out. Okay,
however,
good.
I was at the point in gymnastics, you know, many years ago, we're going back, you know, 40 years ago, they were, when you get to a certain level, they want you at a certain body fat, certain weight. And I was one of those that was walking into the gym, being weighed, get on the scale, take the calibers, clip, you know, check
very
the body
strict.
Fat. And I did, have anorexia. And my parents at that point, I was 12, and they were like, no more, because I wasn't eating. I think I was eating peanut butter crackers.
Mm-mm.
I was obsessed with my weight. I looked in a mirror and saw someone fat at 88 pounds at my height. Like I was 5 feet.
Wow.
I haven't grown much since then, unfortunately. But yeah, so in that realm, yes, because I was I'm a people pleaser. And so I wanted to please my coaches. I wanted to do what I thought was right in their eyes. And so, yes, I went through a battle with anorexia for a couple of years and went to the Children's Hospital of Philly and went through that whole thing of healing. Fortunately, I have a very good relationship with food now, but it took a long time.
Good. Let's actually talk about that, if you don't mind, because there may be someone listening that is secretly dealing with anorexia or bulimia or whatever, some sort of eating disorder. And so let's talk a little bit, because, I mean, you were 12, but I'm sure you can still recall how you were feeling, how you were thinking, and then what tools you were given to overcome that. Can you just kind of share a little bit?
Yeah, I think so many women deal with body dysmorphia. You look at yourself and you shame yourself and I'm fat here. And I, you know, I think we're all, I still do it. I'll still be like, oh, look at this like wrinkle. However, I now, my body is such a gift. And the things that, and I think I just did a post about this. If you thank your body for what it can give you every day, how it's showing up for you, you know, if you're taking care of yourself, because I think so many people don't know what it feels like to feel good.
To feel good, right.
I'm 52. I feel the best I've ever felt because I fuel myself with food that's good for me. So you have to look at food as fuel and medicine.
Yep.
Instead of just, it's just something to put in your mouth to feed the feelings or, and don't get me wrong, I have a chocolate chip cookie every night. I will have a martini on the weekend. But it's moderation and it's knowing that 80% of the time what I'm putting in my body has a direct impact on my health. And I think too many people take that for granted. Or you just don't know what you don't know. I mean, I for years would feed my kids like mac and cheese and hot dogs and chicken nuggets, having no idea.
Right.
If I could go back in time, they probably would hate what I would feed them now. But
right. I know. Mine too. Yeah,
I think looking at your body is a gift. And taking care of it, lifting weights as women, it's very empowering. Putting food into your body that fuels you, maybe working with a nutrition coach or getting information to know what's best for your body because we are all different. What I need or what I can tolerate is going to be very different than what you need, Wendy. So I think that's also important. People can look at me and say, what are you doing? But what I'm doing might not work for you because we have totally different body types. We can have different genetics. We, you know, there's so many factors that there's not a one size fits all. And also you had asked about like earlier, there's so many mixed messages.
Yeah.
And the whole quick fix in our society with everything, it's so frustrating.
Because so deceptive.
It's going to lead to so many other issues down the road that people just want to be skinny.
Yeah.
Without knowing the other consequences, and people aren't getting enough knowledge. They're not doing enough research.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating for me because you have to get to the root of what's causing your issue to fix it. Even if you have a little help with other things, you still have to fix the root.
Absolutely. Or you'll never change fully.
Yeah.
And it'll never be lasting. You'll never change. I think about how there's always been some sort of fad, a quick fix fad. I mean, I remember growing up, there was all kinds of stuff from what was it called? It was like basically speed, Fen. I can't remember what it's called. I don't
scooters.
Know. Something like that. But anyway, people are like, oh, this is great. I'm like, yeah, well, it's a drug. You're not going to be able to sustain yourself like that. Anyway, but you know, the GLP-1 kick, and we could go there if you want, but you know, we just don't know the long-term side effects of everyone jumping on the bandwagon like they are, even microdosing. You know what I mean? I mean, I think there's a time and a place for certain people. I'm not going to dismiss it fully, but I am going to dismiss the fad. I'm going to dismiss all the, because it's a moneymaker. Let's get real. And so, anyway, my heart hurts for those that are always after the quick fix instead of getting to the root, just like you.
Yeah.
And so I love that's part of your mission is to help women really overcome and pull out the lies and feed their soul and their mind with truth and therefore their body.
Yeah.
So, do you have any particular success stories that you, maybe just one that you want to share that since you worked with that person, they had a significant change, not just physically, but through and through?
I've had so many, but I have to share a recent one. I work at a retirement community and it's kind of like a high-end one. And today, actually, I met with an 89-year-old client who I've worked with in the past just for maybe six sessions. And she discontinued for a couple months and she came back to me today and she said, I felt so good when I was working with you. I was getting stronger. She's 89. She has chosen me to be part of a study she's doing for cognitive decline and how working out and movement can help with the really reversing it almost.
100%.
And
yeah.
No, I mean, I have, like I said, there's so many women that I've seen just do a 180, like just their life is totally different. But a big part of it is I can come along and coach them, but they have to be coachable and they have to be ready. And they, and again, it's like, no, there's nothing magical.
Right.
It's creating a plan that's realistic for that person and just putting it into play and knowing that you might have a setback or two.
Yeah.
But you have to keep going and keep, and it's lifelong. You can't just stop when you,
that's right.
Goal, there's something new to achieve.
That's right. That's right. My program is 7 weeks and I'm always like, no, it's not just 7 weeks. I mean, that's to get you jump started, but it's lifestyle. So I think sometimes we look at that, 7 weeks, you know, let's just check that off and we're good.
It goes so fast though.
Yeah. Yeah.
When people look at that, that might be so long, but it goes so fast.
Oh, it goes so fast. Yeah. Yeah. But it's amazing what you can accomplish in such a short amount of time. And you know, just even having someone that's working with you for a short amount of time to give you the inspiration and the tools to keep moving is huge, right? So it's not like you have to work with a coach for the rest of your life, but you need to get into a place of, okay, now I've got it. I've had the accountability. I'm locked in and ready to go. But yeah, it definitely takes someone who's ready to do the work. So let's see, let's kind of go back to where we started, make this full circle, because you also wrote a book called Triumph Through the Tears. And I want to share that because, you know, there may be someone that is grieving and looking for a tool, and maybe your story can help, you know, just help them through their situation. So tell us a little bit about Triumph Through the Tears and how it helped you even through your grief, probably writing it.
Yeah, I knew there was always a book in me and being able to, like I said, like every storm that we go through in life, hopefully we'll, once we get to the other side, that we're able to pull someone else through that same storm. And so this was in 2020, a couple months before COVID, and I attended a Ziegler Legacy certification, became a Ziegler coach, didn't really know much about the family. It was an amazing experience. If anyone has any questions and is thinking about the program, it's life-changing. However, one of our challenges was to write our goals, not knowing that the world was going to be shut down in a couple more weeks. And one of my goals was to write a book about my journey of grief and loss and the things that had helped me through. And so I wrote it over COVID, published it the following year, actually on the date of my dad's passing. I published it on March 21st, I think it was 2021. And really in the book, I share my journey. I'm pretty candid about it. But the tools that had helped me, number one, was finding a safe place to feel like I could just cry. And that was the shower for me.
Oh, yeah. So
I wanted to call it tears in the shower because especially when you have kids and you don't want them to see your emotions, like it's just like it was almost cleansing. But something I wanted to mention when we talked about mindset, and this is in my book, it's called the 5G mindset. And it's the 5 intrinsic gifts that God has given us that we can tap into every day. And one is gratitude, which we hear all the time. Mm-hmm. What are you thankful for? Like, what are your blessings every day? Second is generosity, small acts of kindness. And I, you know, we've met through Nicole.
Yeah.
Right. So
podcast.
Yeah. How can you be the light to someone each day? I every day I wake up and I ask God to put someone in my path, even if it's a smile or a kind, whatever it is. So acts of kindness, generosity. Third is growth. Every day seeking out a way to change yourself, grow. I do Wordle and connections every day. I do a Bible app. I try to push myself a little more physically. The fourth one is grit, which is resilience. You know, we're going to fail. We know we're going to fall, but picking ourselves back up and learning from it. And then the last is grace. And this is God's grace to know that we're imperfect beings and that we can lean into God and that he's there for us, but also grace for others. Mm-hmm. I always use the example of my dog, Scooby, who's laying here.
I love that.
When he was 2, I came home from my gym and my whole couch was literally like destroyed. All the fluff out.
And Scooby, tell people what kind of dog Scooby is.
Scooby is a Great Dane Mastiff.
Yeah, he's like 100. I want to see Scooby right now.
Yeah,
I really wish you'd come over.
Again. Hunter, he's right here. He's my side. He's, you know, whenever your dog has a person, I'm his person.
Oh, that's great.
But I came home to this huge mess and I was angry. And within like 5 minutes, I'm loving on them. And I think as humans, we don't do that for ourselves or for others. We can forgive our pets, but it's so hard to forgive others or ourselves. And so I have, when I do a presentation about my five gifts, Scooby's in it because I'm like, he's a little monster, but
love him. yeah. Oh, that's so
cool. I every day I'm like, how did I use my five gifts? Like, what did I do to tap into them? And it's something that's a good discussion with your kids, with friends.
Yeah, and those five G's literally change your neuroplasticity and change all kinds of things about your physiology. So it's not just, you know, going through grace and grit, and it actually changes you when you show up in those ways. So I love that. Yeah. I love that. Just stay away from using 5G.
Yeah.
In a sense of on your phone.
Right, I know, which we're all
stick with the LTE. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Anyway, it's amazing. I love what you're doing and I love your heart, and you've been through so much and you're an inspiration. And just thank you for being just a fellow sister who loves the Lord and loves people and wants them to be healthy and well. I just commend you, because it's not an easy industry, I guess I would say, to be in. And to want something sometimes more than others want it for themselves. It's an interesting place to be, right?
You nailed it.
So as we conclude, is there something that you would like to share to maybe someone listening, or maybe just whatever's on your heart that maybe you've been learning or studying that someone could benefit from today?
Yeah, I think it's just my message of, you know, giving your life an honest look, seeing how you're showing up for yourself. Are you present? Because when I look back at my life now, I lived in survival mode, and it makes me so sad that I missed out on so much because I could barely just get through the day. And so I encourage people to just slow down, to just look at the beauty, to be present, especially if they have young kids, because I so miss that. And it is what it is, right? I did the best I could, but the dishes can wait. Things can wait. Be present with people that love you. And take care of yourself so you'll be there to take care of the people and to spend time with, you know, I think of legacy, and I want to be around for my grandkids and be able to run around with them and do all the things. I run marathons with my kids now, and so I want to be able to continue to do that. But I can't if I don't take care of me first.
That's right.
To then take care of others.
That's right. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And that's a good word. So those of you that are listening, take heed and check out Jessica at, tell me your website, please, again.
It's just jessica-moyer.com.
Dash Moyer. Yeah.
Yep.
And I'll put that in the show notes.
And Wendy will be on my podcast soon.
I will. I'm excited. Yep. I know. I love it. That'll be really soon. So you'll have to go over to the Real Framework podcast. It's called Real
Wellness.
Just Real Wellness podcast, and take a listen there. And she's got other great episodes, of course. So that will be airing in a few weeks. So anyway, thank you, Jessica, and appreciate you. And let's see Scooby.
Oh, here, let me turn.
Come on, Scooby. Wake up this dog.
There he is.
Oh my gosh. Look at you.
Look at his tongue.
Takes up the whole bed.
Yeah. I love it. He always has his tongue out.
Oh, I love it. He's adorable.
So funny. Yeah.
Well, we love him and we love you. That's great.
Thank you.
All right. Blessings, my friend. Take care. Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this episode of the Visibly Fit podcast. Make sure to give it a rating and a review so other people can find this podcast. Share this show with others. That would be awesome. And again, if you are looking to go and check out Jessica, she was a great guest, right? She's awesome. Go to jessica-moyer.com and learn more about her Real Framework. And, you know, it's always about finding the right person that works for you. And so matching personalities and just whoever resonates with you, work with them. Okay. Honestly, like, I'm all about just do the work, find your person and get healthy and get well, because selfishly, we're a better world when we are all operating in a healthy way, mind, body, spirit, emotions. But if you are looking for a time to work with me, I would honestly love that. Love to take you by the hand and walk you through the Visibly Fit 7-week accelerator course. And you can just go to getvisiblyfit.com and check that program out. And, you know, this is where it's 7 weeks. It's intense and not intense like, oh my gosh, you're grinding it out, but intense that there's a lot of shifts. There's changes, but these changes actually transform how you think about yourself, how you view food, how you think about movement, and really give you a good protocol to fuel your body with life-giving foods, to minimize the chronic inflammation, and to get on a trajectory of having more energy and having and living your best life. So I'm super excited to answer any questions that you may have, but we'd love to have you with us and take you through this journey of getting into your best health. So again, go to getvisiblyfit.com if that is something that you're interested in, and let's do this. All right. Thanks so much again for tuning in to this episode of the Visibly Fit podcast, and we will catch you same time, same place next week.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypett.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a Visibly Fit day.